Good afternoon. My name is Mishki. I'm with City Pages. You're in the stream, like it or not. Splish splash, let's have a blast, that sort of thing. A couple of things before we get started with what I think will be the best show I've ever done here. Those of you who hear me and then don't hear me and then hear me and don't hear me, and it's not because you're turning this on and off and on and off, I want to hear about it. Now, the story of the last few days is a lot of people enjoy the show just fine. Everything's swell. In fact, super de-duper is what I hear most often, because they like to quote the purple dinosaur, Barney. However, there are those who are so frustrated that if they were here in this room, I would be given the Robert De Niro treatment from The Untouchables. You know, the team player deal? Whack, 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 whack. With the baseball bat. Because the show just stops periodically. Now, two things you need to know. One is, there is no one more determined to see this problem go away than me. Two, I can't control the repair. It is not here. It is not in this state. It is elsewhere. But the good folks at City Pages have told me that come hell or high water, this damn problem is going to go away, or the Mayan calendar is going to end. One of those things is going to come first. And if the Mayan calendar comes to an end, that means the world's done. And who the hell cares at that point? Now, I'm a little tired. I was up till, what the hell time was it when I went to bed? We were working on the studio here. I shouldn't say we. I should say a friend of mine, Jared Rush, was working on the stereo, the studio here till about 5 or 6 in the morning. And the place is looking good. I hope it's sounding good. If I were doing a webcast at, KSTP, say, they'd understand a lot of this stuff better because they've been doing this for a living for years and years and years. I don't know if you people realize this, but I not only hooked up with an operation that was primarily a print medium, but their parent company, also primarily a print medium, this is all really new to these people. Really new. Now, I come out of a world where did this for 17 years before I got here. And even if you say, well, radio is different, this is webcasting. Well, even at KSTP, we were doing a webcast. I mean, you could listen online. So I thought this stuff was just no-brainer stuff. However, if you were to pick me up, drag me to the Stone Age and ask me to explain to some caveman how the whole damn thing works, I would say, I don't know, do you guys have any wires or anything? If you guys can get some wires and knobs, you're well on your way. I can't help you any more than that. So who am I to bitch? I don't know anything. I'm just the guy in front of the microphone, frustrated when you're frustrated, hurting when you're hurting, bleeding when you're bleeding, making love to your wife when you're making love to your wife. Number here if you want to call the program, 651-330-4091. God, I love saying that. Used to love saying 646-TALK. Really don't like saying that anymore. Mainly because it's rather meaningless. 330-4091. Every time I say that, John Elway's teeth pop into my head. And that hurts. When I hurt, do you hurt? 330-4091! The number here in St. Paul, 651-330-4091. One of the cool things Jared Rush set up last night at about 4 in the morning, after building racks for equipment and organizing wires and drilling holes in the console, because prior to last night, wires were going everywhere. I mean, this studio was Spaghetti Junction. One of the cool things he put in last night were little boxes that tell me when a phone call is coming and a little light goes on. You know what I used to have to look for to get a sense of a phone call coming in? Some sort of intuitive sensation. Yeah. I would just answer the phone periodically when I got a sense maybe someone was calling. Jared said, that's no way to run a career camper, Dan, and he put in something that allows a light to go on when you call. And he set something else up that, you know, it gets me rather nostalgic. I started in radio on good old Highway 61, made famous in Bob Dylan's song. I started there in 1992, and when they closed up shop out there in Maplewood, when they shut her down there, when we left that brick outhouse, I took one thing with me. The little box outside the studio that said on air, that lit up and said on air. If you went into the studio with that light on, the talk host would strangle you because you were walking in when he was live on the air. If you went in when the light was off, he wouldn't strangle you, but he'd say, another salesman, get out of here. So that was the only thing I got as a piece of memorabilia from the old station when we moved from Maplewood to University Avenue. Well, Jared Rush, he got that all set up last night here in the studio so it works. So my mic goes on, the on-air sign goes on. It's like old times here in the back room where I broadcast from on the east side of the Mississippi River in a little hamlet known as St. Paul, not to be confused with the other side of the river, big time Minneapolis, where City Pages is based. We got you covered both ends, folks. Am I relaxed and ready to enjoy some time together with you? Do I have a cold one in front of me? You're damn right I do. Is the snow coming down? Is it pretty outside? Of course it is. Is it great to be alive? Oh, mother. All right. You can email the studio if you care to, Mishki@citypages.com. But if you're emailing, who should I send you to in terms of quality of sound? Let's see. You know what? I'm just going to pick a random sales guy at City Pages. No, I would. Hodap, I'm sending them to you. No, I wouldn't do that. How about the wizard over there? I'll send you to Tim Conway. tconway@citypages.com. Write Timmy and tell the old son of a gun how it's streaming for you. Okay? tconway@citypages.com. He's waiting for you. You know, if you're having a great experience, let him know. If it's a nightmare from Hades, let him know. Again, the worry is that it's the stream is drying up on you periodically. That all of a sudden there's a riverbed there with fish flopping around and no water to keep them alive. Other people don't know what the devil I'm talking about. Well, count your lucky stars. I'll check the email periodically, and again, I don't want to hear from you about the sound quality. That's tconway@citypages.com. Oh, if you want to, you can write me. I don't care. What do we have for email already? Holy moly! Mishko, just dropping a note to let you know I'm looking forward to the broadcast today. A blizzard is keeping most of the sane people here in Moorhead. Where would you like to be? I have nothing but time on my hands right now on account of the blizzard. Wondering if you've gotten a hold of any of that Trip Shakespeare I was requesting. And it's signed Tom Steve, in quotations, Drewicki. Who the hell with the name Tom gets nicknamed Steve? Kangaroo hops into bed with startled Aussie family. Put yourself in their shoes, people. A startled Swiss immigrant family huddled under their blankets yesterday as a kangaroo bounced on top of them after bursting through a bedroom window. Here's the mother speaking. This is her quote. "My initial thought when I was half awake was, it's a lunatic ninja." That's your first thought? I honestly wonder if that would be my 900th, 2000th thought. Your first thought was you were wondering if it might be a lunatic ninja. I don't think those things actually exist. Kangaroos exist. Wouldn't kangaroo be a thought before lunatic ninja? I wish I had collected over the years all the weird things that had jumped onto beds when people were sleeping. I'm quite serious about that. Just the odd things that have happened when people were sleeping. I think far scarier than a kangaroo ninja, was that what it was? Was the story I heard, and it's a simple story, it has nothing surprising in it, but one morning I woke up and had coffee with a friend, and he said, I had a weird evening last night. And I said, what happened there, Tom, whose nickname, by the way, was Steve? I said, what happened? He said, well, at the foot of our bed, my wife and I have a TV set and a VCR and a stereo, and we had a vase there with flowers. And we woke up this morning, and that was all gone. And then I sort of shuddered. I thought, wow, guy's just moving around. I'm assuming more than one guy, maybe one guy, but just hauling a lot of equipment away, and right near your head, your little sleeping cherubic head. I mean, they could have taken the stuff, which they did. That's one option. The other option is they could have poured acid on your face. They could have slapped you. They could have killed you. They could have done all sorts of things. And the fact that they didn't do anything to you bodily doesn't change the fact that they could have, that you were utterly helpless, and that they were moving around your bedroom. Worse yet, you're one deep sleeper, and your wife as well, or they're really quiet. That, to me, was worse than a kangaroo on the bed. What's a kangaroo going to do? When I was growing up, there was a little show called Skippy. You remember it? It was like a Flipper, except it was for kangaroo people. You had your dolphin people. I was a kangaroo guy, and I liked Skippy. Skippy, Skippy, Skippy the bush kangaroo. Wonder what happened to that show. But I loved kangaroos. I thought they were harmless. Turns out, I guess they can beat the crap out of you. I guess they're pretty rough and tumble animals. Why the hell am I talking about this? Anybody know? Oh, yeah, that story. We'll move on. The other day I was talking about whenever it's rough on Wall Street, there's a photograph in the paper of a guy holding his forehead, right? Recall that? Oh, no, that's when it was skipping on you. Sorry. Whenever there's a rough Wall Street story in the paper, there's some guy grabbing his forehead. There's a photograph of a guy holding his head. They don't know any other way to illustrate trouble on Wall Street. Well, go to Japan. A veteran Hong Kong stock commentator burst into tears yesterday during a live television broadcast watching stocks plunge. And watching stocks plunge dramatically before the end of trading yesterday, this veteran stock commentator just lost it. Now, I don't buy the holding the head thing anymore. I think they're actually going up to guys and saying, will you hold your forehead so I can take this shot? That doesn't move me anymore. Tears still do. For me, that's the closest I've come to really feeling deeply what's going on out there economically. Watching a veteran stock commentator just burst into tears. Didn't want to, didn't plan to, just happened. That tells me it's rough. That tells me it's rough. Skippy, Skippy, Skippy the bush. Hey, I was at a bar last Saturday night, and I was in Northeast Minneapolis. It was a dive. And there were some young women there, and I'm an old guy. But I was meeting some people, and I was introduced to some friends there, and there were these young women, and I was visiting with them. They're in their 20s. Visiting with them. And periodically, if I got distracted or if I looked away or if I talked to someone to my right instead of those folks to my left, some guy would come up and try to hit on them. And, you know, I've been out of the loop on that whole thing for years. And even when I was in the loop, I didn't do that because I didn't know how to do that. And the whole thing would have been utterly embarrassing to me. One rejection, and I would have never done it again. As opposed to a buddy of mine who has probably been rejected a world record number of times, he simply is not fazed. And I admire that. He still doesn't have a girl. But he'll just walk into a bar, and he'll just find whoever looks most unattainable and beelines for him. Shot down, boom, out again the next night. Night after night. It's like a boxer. You can't defeat. I mean, you can defeat him in judges' rulings, but you can't knock him out. Where the hell was I on this? Oh, so I'm asking these women. I said, that's got to be kind of a drag. I mean, some of the guys coming up, you know, it looked like they were, you know, the abusive types or something. They get out on a date and they pull them. Was it Chris Brown and Rihanna? I'm out of the loop on that, but I think I'm in the neighborhood of the right names. And I found myself, well, first of all, quite thrilled to be male. Secondly, sympathetic, empathetic, feeling badly for them that they have to put up with this. And then I asked him, I said, you guys ever think about internet dating? And they said, no, we don't do that. I said, really? Because it seems to me, it's 2009. That's, you know, it's no longer a situation where that's unusual, odd, new, novel. And they said, well, and it was an interesting take. They said, well, when we tell the story down the line to our children of how we met their father, we just don't want to say through the internet. Well, you don't want to say through this bar either, I'll tell you that. Not this joint. They agreed with that. But they want to just, you know, maybe at school, one was in a graduate school at the U, another was a hairstylist, maybe through work or maybe through some hobby or maybe while walking around the lakes admiring the brilliant blue sky. But they didn't want to have that story to tell. I was reminded of that today when I stumbled upon this story in the news. Almost everyone these days can name a couple they know who met on the internet. Though it wasn't so long ago that skimming the online personals for love was considered strange, even a bit desperate. Taboo or not, the practice certainly isn't new. Turns out personal ads have a history going back 300 years. This is according to a new book on the subject entitled Classified, The Secret History of the Personal Ad. Internet dating is just the modern version of the first matrimonial agencies of the 1700s, which helped lonely bachelors search for wives through printed ads. Advertising for a husband, for a wife, has always attracted criticism, and the people who did it were always thought of as failures in some way. However, advertising like this has a long, unbroken history and used by many people in many cultures with great degrees of success. It only took a few decades after the invention of the modern newspaper in 1690 for the new medium to become a way for people to meet. Matrimonial agencies were big business in Britain back in the 18th century. Big business. Printing ads on behalf of men who paid the agency to recruit them a good wife is common. See, being single past the age of 21 back then was considered almost shameful. And the ads were seen, I suppose, as a last resort for the men, and maybe for the women as well. If a match resulted, you didn't boast about the fact to your friends, but you were thrilled to have a mate. Says the author of this book, you probably didn't talk about it much if you were respectable, but the personal sections of those 18th century newspapers were very useful. They were also, interestingly, used quite a bit for gay men and women to meet lovers. Personal ads went mainstream in the early 20th century with expectations at a much lower level than their earlier incarnations. Many of the postings were simply calls for friends or pen pals becoming especially popular among single servicemen, known as lonely soldiers during World War I. Boy, what soldier wasn't lonely? I'd like to know that. Probably those that were in the don't ask, don't tell category. But otherwise, wasn't every soldier lonely? At the same time, advertising for pals or for lonely soldiers was fashionable and contemporary, something done by those who were, as they put it in their ads, bohemian and unconventional. You want a drink? Periodically in the show, I like to pause and completely change direction when all of a sudden, inside, a little guy says, "Stop everything. Have a sip of beer. Reevaluate the entire program." "All right, sir." Reevaluating her right now. "Let's go to the email, shall we, where human beings have been trying to get in contact with me." This is from Seattle. Charles, he was a listener back in the KSTP days. I remember you, buddy. "Mishki, I sent you a couple emails yesterday, but I realize I sent them to mishki@citypages.com and not to the old address, so I don't know if you got them or not. Should I send them to the old address or mishki@citypages.com? Charles, there's a new sheriff in town. Mishki@citypages.com, where you find me now. And I do check them regularly, and doggone it, if you write me, I write you back, and that's that. I mean, that's that. Even if you write and say things like, "Hey, buddy, I know where your wife works." Actually, I especially write you back then. "The dog's barking downstairs. Mail's here." "Who's this? Could you put him in a bedroom, maybe? I think I'm all alone." "Tommy, I love to listen to your show while drinking copious amounts of alcohol and eating pills." "You thought you were depressed. The show keeps me from three things: car, garage, and exhaust. Smile." In parentheses, smile. "Okay, thank you. Happy to help." Tom, with a nickname Steve, is writing in. Oh, I didn't know that. Turns out I'm the one who gave him the nickname. Okay, it's all making sense now. "Mishki, I'm the guy who called with the Jeffrey Dahmer trivia on your first show. I said I was Tom, and you decided to change my name to Steve. That's why I put that in as my nickname. I'm sorry. I won't make fun of it then, since I'm the guy who gave it to you. My apologies. Let's continue on." Hey, a streaming email. "Tom, the stream, all in all, is pretty good, but it's a bit like listening to an old record where it skips rather often. Well, actually, it's more like a burp because it's a quick pause." Well, that's the problem, one of the problems I'm talking about. "I said to myself when I started last Wednesday, I'll put up with problems for a week. Yeah, you iron out things, you troubleshoot, you try to get everything figured out within the first week. And then after that, I go to a place on Lake Street I saw that has a sign out front that just says guns." Let's see, who else is here? This is Shameless. "Mishki, looking for your CD. Do you know where I can find it?" Actually, I'm making that up. No one's writing in saying that. Who else do we have here? All right, that's going to be it for now. Back to the news, which involves some audio. Someone sent me this morning, a fellow named Morrissey. This is from The Onion.
Oh, Obama calls on the nation to put in one solid day of work. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Today, President Barack Obama asked American workers to roll up their collective sleeves and put in one full day of work. The new president explained that a single day of solid, uninterrupted labor with no dicking around would increase the country's GDP by $3.2 trillion.
I'm not even talking about overtime. Just show up and put in the straight 8 hours of solid labor. That's all you're being asked to do.
Obama added that Vice President Joe Biden will be charged with closely monitoring Facebook to make sure no one sneaks on.
I bring that to your attention because, A, that's some good stuff. B, I admire that level of professionalism and humor. I would like to not join their staff there, but just hang out one day when they're knocking around ideas. I wonder if they'd ever let me do that as part of perhaps a story that I then brought back to this program. I admire so the work they do there. I not only think it's just a hell of a fun way to make a living, they simply are the consummate pros over there. I mean, they wrote the book on this stuff. Say what you want about John Stewart. They own this. Now, I also bring it to your attention for this reason. Obviously, the Onion loves to mess around with stories that, well, are made up. I like to take stories that already exist and send them in directions where there may be fictional aspects. But I like to play with real news. Now, this next piece is just flat-out real news. This is real news from ABC.com. They think it's real. But is it really all that different from The Onion? This is why I like to find what's actually out there. The kangaroo jumping on the bed. The woman who first thought it might be a lunatic ninja. Reality is so beautiful. So wondrous, something to marvel at, that I don't know how much we have to deviate into fiction. This is a real story, folks.
Absolutely powerful words from Oprah to Rihanna, but can Oprah even get through to the troubled pop star? Marvet, to you first, do you think even...
That's not the start of it, Tom. Yeah, it is.
Obama calls on the
it's
nation
that
to put
one,
in one...
and then this one. Okay. Idiot. Don't call me an idiot. Fathead. Are you playing it or not? I don't know how to work.
Absolutely powerful words from Oprah to Rihanna, but can Oprah even get through to the troubled pop star? Marvet, to you first, do you think even Oprah can get through to Rihanna?
AJ, I believe Oprah can. Oprah has been blessed to be the most influential voice of our time.
Yeah, I can't overstate the power of Oprah's message to Rihanna. And when you watch it, you really do understand why it is being seen as a wake-up call to Rihanna.
Give it some time. Get yourself some counseling.
Both of you.
Take care of yourself.
Brilliant! Who the hell would have thought of that? Could we go back to that for a moment? Just a couple of things. Number one, okay, some woman somewhere in America got hit by a guy. Well, that's happening about every 7 seconds. There are family members there weighing in, perhaps friends. Don't know that we need Oprah, unless Oprah has insight you could not get anywhere else. Take some time. I don't think that's Oprah's advice. Don't think anybody said that to her. Get some counseling. Don't think she's heard that yet. And what was said about Oprah, her being the most influential voice of our time, that caused me to fall backwards in my chair and wonder where we are. Not where we're going, but where we are 2009, if this is accurate. And it may be. I don't know. She may be the most influential. But I want to go back to this one more time. Do, do, do.
Absolutely powerful words from Oprah to Rihanna, but can Oprah even get through to the troubled pop star? Marbet, to you first. Do you think even Oprah can get through to Rihanna?
AJ, I believe Oprah can. Oprah has been blessed to be the most influential voice of our time.
Yeah, I can't overstate the power of Oprah's message.
Can't overstate
and
it.
When you watch it, you really do understand
it's
why
the most,
it is seen be
most
it is
powerful
seen
thing
as a wake
ever
up call to Rihanna.
Listen to this.
Give it some time.
Okay.
Get yourself some counseling.
Both of you.
Take care of yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Oprah. Reminds me of the Dear Abby letters when I used to do a lot of Dear Abby stuff on the air. Someone would write in and detail the single most astonishing, troubling problem you've ever heard a family or an individual have to deal with. And Abby's advice was, in essence, talk to your family doctor or clergyman. Well, I certainly wouldn't have thought of that. Thanks. Why people don't heed tornado warnings?
Hey,
don't stop.
Magic, and you know you're the one who can put out the fire.
Magic,
you know darn well when you cast your spell.
Do
you know who sings that?
I think Woody Guthrie wrote that.
No, really?
Originally?
No, I'm looking for it online.
No, he did write it originally. Yeah, I'm serious when I say that.
No.
Yes, he was. I'm not saying he's the one who made it popular, but you will find he was the originator of that. And then,
Jack,
you can have anything that you desire.
It's a great tune. Someone in the back of my mind is saying America sings that. But.
Nope. That's Horse with No Name, Venture Highway. You're on a different track there, camper. What brings the call, and can I call you Steve?
Yeah,
thanks.
Actually you can.
Appreciate that.
Tom, I was calling for a couple things. I made a checklist. Magic is one of the ones. I got that off the list. Coney Island, why aren't we starting that thing back up? I watched your video. I mean,
it's shocking, isn't it? I mean, it's truly.
Can't we get that thing going?
How
that
can we? It's not ours.
I know, course, but yeah. I mean, doesn't he want to hire some people?
Nope, he does not. He does not.
I'll work for free.
This was an operation, the Coney Island in downtown St. Paul, closed some 15 years now, opened first in 1923. This is a place that was run entirely from 1923 on by a family. They didn't hire outside. The Arvanituses took care of things themselves. The idea of bringing anyone else in to run that operation is abhorrent to every fiber in their body. Now, there is a daughter, a young daughter, who would love to take it over, Mary Arvanitus. However, Louie and Harry, who interestingly goes by the name Bobby, and don't ask me why, Louie and Harry, who aren't getting any younger and are probably too old to reopen this joint, they look at their little sister and say, I don't think she can handle it. She can handle it, boys. So the place sits there, and they keep up their liquor license, and they have the health inspectors in, and they pay all their license fees, and they keep the place clean, and it's on the historical register, and they re-roof it, and they have it all ready. It could open tomorrow. They could open the door tomorrow and start serving booze, and it sits closed and has for 15 years. It's not being torn down. It's not being sold. It's not being turned into a different business, and it's not opening. Find me another business like that in the United States. Are people there every day? Yes. Louis there every day. The door's locked. You can't come in and order anything, and it's been that way for 15 years. It is an odd, odd situation, and that's why I did my little video. I just wanted to pass that along.
Great. I go by it all the time. I'm a fan of Jaime, so I'm in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Did it get renters upstairs then, maybe, huh?
Nope, I've been upstairs. Upstairs are little apartments that are filled with Louis and Harry's things. Louis and Harry never moved out of their pa's house. They grew up in Highland, in St. Paul, went to Cretan, and they struggled there because at a Catholic institution they were Greek Orthodox. And despite the fact that there are great similarities between the Greek Orthodox and the Catholics, they felt ostracized. But they are, Louis is a 48 graduate of Cretan, and you try and say to him, and I have often, come on, Louis, just open the door and throw a bartender there. And he says, oh, I'm going to open it. And it's frustrating because what do you do then? And you say, when? I'm going to get around to it.
Well, you should do your show from there. You should. That should be your new hangout. And have a few people in, and that'd be really cool.
I call him every now and then. He used to stop by the house periodically. He quit doing that. He used to come by with a bag of M&Ms for my kids. He'd knock on the door and he'd say, I have some M&Ms for your kids. Maybe he figures they're too old for M&Ms now. But and I, of course, would pick out the yellow ones.
Mm.
You do that?
No.
All right, Steve.
Wait, one more thing. You're on your website, when you click, like, the Fury ad, it goes back to the website. It pops up your website again. How do you get to, you can't get to Fury Motors through your website.
Okay, two things on that. Number one, for those who don't know, Fury Motors is a sponsor of this show, and when I first went to them, I said, guys, what do you got for a website? They said, we're completely revamping the website. By the end of March, we're going to present a brand new website. I said, okay, tell you what then. Rather than have people on day one click on your ad and go to your website, if you're not 100% confident that it's, you know, a showpiece, let me do a video on you guys and have that be what people see when they click on the ad. The fellows said, good idea. Last week I went to do my video. The two guys were in Montana, and I want at least one of them in the video. I did shoot part of it. I took their old man, wonderful guy, Red Leonard, from Fury Motors, started it back in 63, and we went out to the Lake Elmo store, and we went into this Quonset hut. Quite serious. Looked like something that Gomer Pyle operated out of. And in there, we found a car, a Chrysler from 1963 with the window sticker still on it, brand new. He had kept that. The window sticker was still on it. When he started Fury Motors in 63, it was four spark plugs in the parts department and one car on the showroom floor. And I said, I got to shoot you, Red. I got to videotape you with this car. And then he took me around to some other old cars. There was an old Fury where you opened it up and the seat swiveled toward the exterior so that it was really easy to get into. And then when you sat down, you swiveled back. And it locked in place, and that became a safety issue later. And those were outlawed. You didn't see those anymore. We just started to go in all these old cars. Turns out this Quonset hut was filled with them. It was real dark in there, though. There were no lights, and the doors were padlocked shut. We went in, kind of squeezed in, and we're just roaming around. I thought, this is a place to shoot a video. So I got that part of the video shot, and I want to go from there to the modern day, today, this extraordinary place out on
Prowler.
Huh?
Their big Prowler that they got.
At their place yesterday sitting in a Bentley. You ever sit in a Bentley? And I started it up, and I drove it through a plate glass window. And you haven't lived till that glass rains down on you, and you don't care. You're bleeding, but you're driving a Bentley. They have some great cars. You know, Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep are doing all right. Jeep, actually, extraordinarily, is probably the most stable brand in the world. I mean, what they never are hurting. Jeep is always cool. And Jeep is one of the few brands, can you think of another one, where the name itself is the logo? There is no image that goes with it. It's just Jeep.
Yeah.
You know, where's the little thing? What's the hood ornament? I mean, what's the symbol? It's just Jeep. It's the four letters.
Well, I'd like to support you and support them by clicking and getting the hits and that stuff, but
hits,
no can do.
We're not going to play that game. I'm not going to go to them and say, hey, look, I got you a bunch of hits on your website. We're talking sales.
Money these days, isn't it?
Sales.
The Arbonitas guys should be making money.
We're talking sales.
Website.
You want to buy a Chrysler, Dodge, or Plymouth, you go with me, and I'll take you out there. I'm not joking. I'll pick you up. I'll drive you out there. That's what I'm talking about. Not click on. Look, there's a click. Click schmick. The flick of the pick. Click.
Listen, I'm tied up with a new car already, and I just.
Jackass, you can do nothing for me. I'm sorry to rip on you, but your stock has dropped dramatically in the last 30 seconds.
But I know people.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. I can forward the link, you know. But
FuryMotors.com, just tell them about it. Hey, you think you're doing me a favor going out there? Oh, sure you are. But I'm doing this to do you a favor. I'm doing you guys a favor. I'm telling you, you will thank me down the road. by, I assume, allowing me to be a godfather of your child. That's my hope, that we're all sitting around during a baptism one day, and I get to play with the little guy. Maybe use him as a hacky sack ball. I don't know. But give me some help here, will you, Steve?
Yeah, well, you find out who really sings magic.
Chick, you can do it. You
and
can,
you know you're the one who can put out the fire.
Wow. Here's what we're going to need, people. We're going to need to get that song out of our head. Hello. Hey, who's this?
Craig,
I don't believe the terrible sound quality we're experiencing is my fault. What are you calling me on? Close and play?
What
are you calling me on?
My iPhone.
It's a terrible phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because the other guy, Steve, he sounded okay, so it's not my fault. Is there any other phone you could use? Perhaps an old orange juice can and some twine?
Sorry, I don't have that. I just have my iPhone.
Call me back. Magic. All right, Tom, find another song. That cannot be the song in your head. This will not stand. This will not stand. Didn't Andrea Swenson give you some music yesterday? Find it. Put something else on. Find a song called Hennepin Avenue and play that. Will do, T.D. I'm on it like maggots on a rotting carp. Hang on to your skivvies. Ever heard of a band named Skook?
Well, I hear the pitter and patter and the splish and splatter of the rain. It's falling at my feet. Past the shoes hanging high on the telephone. I still don't know what that means. I watch the cigarettes burn and the traffic lights turn. The steam rising up from the street. Past the hustle and the bustle of the people as they shuffle to the beat of a lonely scene. And I saw hunger, and I saw pain. I saw evil, it was all the same. I do not, and I can't do, and I saw you. On Hennepin Avenue. Shattering the mindless banner, watch the words float into the night. There's a change in the pace of a complicated place as the clock ticks further towards the light. I see the people who pretend and the people on the mend, the people who ignore it all. That's the poets, the believers, the dreamers, and the schemers stay long enough to see them all. And I saw darkness. I saw blue, I saw color, it was all the same. I fell in, and I broke through, and I saw you. On Hennepin Avenue. It echoes off the walls towards the sun. There's no telling where it starts. There's no telling where it stops. There's no telling when it's gonna be done. But the ghosts are nowhere, even if they don't show it. It's been told for 100 years. You can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in the cries. You can read it in the tracks of my tears. And I saw black, and I saw light. I got I'm sorry.
That's a nice song. I like that. Thanks for sticking me with that one, Andrea. That's Stook, Hennepin Avenue. Andrea, when she gave me this one, wrote, another American alternative country band, Stook is both the name of the band and the nickname of the lead singer. He's not widely known, but he has a small and dedicated fan base and is quite an endearing person and singer. This is a good job. 170 emails coming in saying Magic is in fact by America. Dear God, no. No. I was in London once in 1984, and there was a homeless guy. And he was singing, how can you tell me you're lonely? Or say for you that the sun don't shine. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. No, he didn't sing that one. I thought he was going to. He was singing Horse with No Name. Guy had to be, I imagine, in his 70s. And I said, well, interesting song. And he said, I think he was Irish, actually. But it was on the streets there in Bayswater, London, 1984. He said, I've been to the desert on a horse with no name, the man wrote. In the desert, you can't remember your name, he said. And he went on to quote the lyrics, and he was fascinated by that song. Are you telling me now that I could have just as easily stumbled upon a homeless guy on the streets of London singing Magic? Took a bunch of calls earlier from people saying, hey, I really dig that song, Magic. Can I grab my guitar and sing it over the phone? What the devil's going on out there? Hello?
Tom?
Yeah. Top of the afternoon to you. Oh. Golly, it is catchy. Music editor at City Pages right now is quitting. Oh, thank you. How can you tell me you're lonely? Why don't people heed tornado warnings? Didn't I ask that earlier? When weather alarms go off and tornado sirens begin their baleful wail, some people run for shelter, but most say we can ride it out. A new report from the National Weather Service sheds light on the reasons why most people don't heed tornado warnings. We're moving into tornado season here, ladies and gentlemen. This report, by the way, focuses on the Super Tuesday winter tornado outbreak of February 5th and 6th, 2008. Do you remember that? 82 tornadoes tore through 9 states across the South. 57 people died, 350 were injured, $400 million in property damage. Scientists with the National Weather Service, National Center for Atmospheric Research, interviewed survivors to see what, if any, precautions they took during the storms. Turns out a lot of people didn't take any precautions at all. And, of course, it hurts that 2/3 of the victims were in mobile homes. What do you think tornadoes think when they see a mobile home? What did the shark think in Jaws when that naked woman was swimming at the beginning of the program? You know how happy that shark was that he didn't have to go through cloth? No one ever talks about this, but very rarely do humans present themselves to animals to be eaten without a bunch of cloth the animals have to go through. And that is not, I don't care what animal we're talking about, that is not considered food to them. They'll put up with it. The same way I'll put up with a pickle and a cheeseburger if you have it in there. I don't want it there. But the naked gal at the beginning, he's thinking, thanks, God. Where was I on this? Oh, yeah, they're in mobile homes. So most of those interviewed said they didn't really take the threat seriously. They thought it was minimal because really we weren't quite into the traditional tornado season and they just didn't buy it. It was February. Come on. February tornadoes. How many of those can you count on one hand? I hear what you're talking about, guys, but, you know, those sirens aren't there for their entertainment value. Even though they may be more entertaining than Magic. You're the one who can put out the fire. A lot of those interviewed said they spent time seeking confirmation of a tornado and were in the middle of trying to determine if it was a real worry or not when they found themselves airborne. The report also found that people often minimize the threat of personal risk through a thought process known as optimism bias, the belief that bad things happen to other people. The crazy thing is, often that's true. Often bad things do happen to other people. Did you read the paper today? Did you see how many other people had a bad day yesterday? Optimism bias. Hey, I wonder if we can get the folks responsible for this webcast to put the phone number up so I don't have to give it a lot. I noticed when you go to the website, and by the way, last night you guys could add some fun, because about 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, we were testing stuff here, and you can't test it without being live. So any of you who couldn't sleep and went to citypages.com and went to the Mishki webcast would have been able to hear the testing. Not that that's entertaining, but it was better than magic, I'll tell you that. And where was I going with this? Oh, one of the things I saw when I was testing was that you guys are looking at a little, looks like a little tape recorder or something, and it says streaming Mishki there, black on white, right? Why couldn't under that, on the lower end of the little player, why couldn't it be 651-330-4091? That would be good. That would save me having to give out the number a lot. I'd give it out more often if it spelled something. It doesn't. Back to the email we go, Mishki@citypages.com. Feel free to email me. Mishki, I would like to call your program and sing Magic. Is that over, or are you still allowing people to play guitar and sing that song? I'm leaning towards it being over. Hello?
It's me.
You're the guy who's going to sing the song?
Just the little fun part, of course.
Do you play an instrument?
I play a guitar.
All right, let's get it out of the way. I mean,
well,
this is great. Thanks.
Keep the joke going.
I mean, I'm really happy that you called. Wow. Life's like a box of chocolates, man. You know what I'm saying? This is a great story out of England. It was hoped that feathers would fly when two rare male blue ducks were introduced to the only female of the species in all of Britain. This is an attempt to help a species on the verge of extinction continue to exist, people. They found a couple of male blue ducks, Ben and Jerry they named them, and they tried to get them to fall for Cherry, a female blue duck, in order to produce some much-needed ducklings. All right. Guess what happened? Turns out the two ducks, the males, Ben and Jerry, only had eyes for each other. They've been inseparable ever since they brought them together to hopefully mate with a female duck. They don't want to mate with her. The warden of the Arundel Wetlands Center says, to our surprise, the two males took to each other, not to Cherry. It would have been nice to get some eggs from Cherry, but Ben and Jerry are instead a couple themselves. Wildlife expert Chris Packham says, yes, ducks are indeed an animal species that have been known to show homosexual behavior regularly. The gay love story does nothing to help the endangered blue duck. Where am I going with this? Some of you, if you sat for a minute, would know. Others, if you sat for 100 years, wouldn't. The duck, gay duck. A new game. That's where I'm going. Now, do you know this old game? I've been told this, by the way. If you're from Minnesota, it's duck, duck, gray duck. If you're from, say, Chicago, it's duck, duck, goose. A lot of Chicago natives don't understand this Minnesota penchant for playing as children duck, duck, gray duck. They say, what the hell is it? What do we mean, gray duck? It's duck, duck, goose. You go duck, duck, duck around in a circle, and then you say goose, and that kid jumps up and runs around, tries to get back to his spot. How does the game go again? It's like chess. Well, goose, gray duck, how do we compromise? Duck, duck, gay duck! Made it up this morning. Duck, duck, gay duck. That's too much for the children to handle, Tom. We're not going to be able to change the game to duck, duck, gay duck. Oh. I don't understand. The children can handle it. It's life, man. It's biology. It's real. It's like the wind. It's like the leaves. It's the world before us. Embrace it and sing a happy song. It's okay. Change the game. Let's all agree in this country to move on to duck, duck, gay duck. Duck, 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 gay duck. And then what happens then? The kid gets up. Oh. I don't know how the hell the game goes. It's been so doggone long. Duck, duck, gay duck. The duck that's male has thrown the curve ball when chasing tail. DNR wanted him to mate. The duck turned to them and said, boys, too late. I'm duck, duck, gay duck. I'm into guys. It's all part of nature. No big surprise. God made me and God made you, and he threw us all together in one big stew. If you want to be happy, you want to be free, just marvel at the great old mystery. Don't try to shape it, mold it your way. Just let it go, man, and join the fray. Hey, 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 everybody. Duck, duck, gay duck, that's the male has thrown a curveball when chasing tail. DNR wanted him, but to a mate, he looked at them and said, the boys, I'm a sorry, too late. Little game you can teach the youngins if they're tired of Ring Around the Rosie, which I think is a very twisted game. When you really research the origins of that. Very, very disturbing. Speaking of the origins of things, ladies and gentlemen, the origins of Barbie. It's 3, 4, 5 in the morning last night. We're working here late into the early morning hours on this studio. And my pal Jared Rush says to me, do you know where Barbie got started? I said, I have no idea. And why do you know? And he said, the dolls at the time that Barbie was invented, were not attractive. They were little kids. The dolls were little children. They were representative of children. There weren't adult attractive dolls. So the person who invented Barbie, when looking for a model, went overseas to a sex shop. And found a blow-up doll or something, some plastic male toy for the lonely soldiers. And brought that back to the States and said, make me one of these, but smaller. And that's Barbie. Barbie's a sex doll. How you feeling about giving that to the kids now? Yank that, pull Ring Around the Rosie, and let's play Duck, Duck, Gay Duck. Don't I have a story on that, by the way? Let's see, a lot of you people don't believe any of this stuff. I don't blame you, but I think I have dope on this. Let me go through my news stories for today and see if, in fact, I have audio on this. I thought I did. Duck, duck, goose. Never heard.
Madonna and Oprah have done it today. Another one named celebrity turns 50, Barbie.
Barbie, you're beautiful.
Since she first came on the scene, Barbara Millicent Roberts has captured the imagination of millions of girls. And while the one-time teenage fashion model is getting on in years, you might never know it.
21?
27. 19?
Barbie is turning the big 5-0.
She's still hot.
She made her debut at the New York Toy Fair in 1959. Mattel co-founder Ruth Handler modeled Barbie after a sexy German doll named Bild Lilly.
I think Barbie was really, in a lot of ways, the first feminist.
Come again? What did you say?
It's a case of mistaken identity for a woman in Fair Oaks.
And it's not her personal identity we're talking about, but as Andrew Luria reports, the identity of what exactly her business offers.
What?
I get maybe 3 to 17 a week.
When Helen put up this sign at her house for adult tap dancing classes, the nearly 80-year-old grandma started fielding calls for adult lap dancing services.
Can you imagine a man coming to the door, and I open the door, and I go, yeah? And he goes, oh, never mind.
Well, some guys would. Some guys, and it's interesting to think of it this way, when you say, yeah, and answer the door, and they say, yeah. Now, I don't know how that story appeared in this show, but might as well comment on it now. You people listening would find that disturbing and sort of twisted. 80-year-old woman answers the door, says, yeah. Guy's coming for what he thinks is a lap dance, but it's a tap dancing school run by an 80-year-old woman. Woman answers the door, says, yeah. And the guy, instead of running away as she thought might happen, says, yeah. That's disturbing to you. I say, why is that disturbing? Why is it disturbing for a man to find an 80-year-old woman extraordinarily attractive? Why can't that be celebrated? I'm serious when I say that we find it creepy. Well, what a sad statement that is, and what a slam on 80-year-old women. I see if a guy, when that door is answered, says, well, I was expecting a 25-year-old, but I don't know, I won the lottery today. We say, boy, thank God there are a few like that out there. But we don't do that, do we? We want him arrested. Is it time to call Emily? By God, it is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What the hell number do I call? Emily, there she is. Wait a minute, Emily is writing me. Oh, Mishki, this is a comment on the blotter. I thought I'd pass it along to you. Oh, Mishki, I would appreciate some words of support today. My furry friend, Arthur, had to be put down today. He was the first thing that made me feel comfortable and at home in St. Paul when I moved here 8 years ago. You were the second thing I bonded to. It's very ironic to me that the day I lose him, I find you again. I'm glad that you are back on the air. And always you seem to have some pearl that can turn my day around. No pressure, but please give me a little ditty in memory of my late kitty, Arthur. My husband, who did the deed, would appreciate the lightening of mood and the peace of mind. Thanks for all you do, Elizabeth. Oh, Arthur's gone. Well, I've lost a few furry friends over the years. And I don't know if this is going to be terribly novel, original, but I don't really believe that the creature you're looking at after it's been put down is your Arthur. Stay with me here. When you see an animated animal, fully alive, there is some sort of invisible energy in that creature. It's just, and the way you learn that is when you look at it on the floor dead, as I've done often with animals. Looked at them and you say to yourself, that's not my guy there. That's his little house. That's where he was living. He bolted somewhere. And you know that because there is nothing that even reminds you of the creature. And yet that's the creature. I mean, there's the head, there's the eyes, there's the fur. But what I have found is that there's nothing even that reminds me of the animal, which teaches me that all the things that I viewed as the animal were that animation. And that animated part has disappeared. and taken with it everything I identify with that creature. So Arthur went somewhere. And while that's not necessarily comforting because he's left you, that's not Arthur there. Whatever you're going to do with that, bury it, have it cremated. Arthur went somewhere, and I think he was supposed to head off somewhere. And I would like, and it's a mission of mine, to determine where the devil we go. You know that whole idea that you can't kill energy, it just changes forms? Well, what did Arthur change into? What did that energy turn into? Where is it? Maybe it's going to be around your house still for a while. I've heard stories like that. Maybe you're going to see that energy in a different creature one day soon, and something about some creature visiting your house is going to cause you to do a double take or something. But I don't think Arthur's really all done with you yet. I'm getting a sense that Arthur isn't completely 100% finished with you yet. You let me know if that's true over the next few days or weeks. Now, as I end my segment on Dear Arthur, who's no longer with us, and pass along my sympathies, I look for a phone number for Emily Kaiser. Who stole it? She's going to shoot me. I always lose the phone number. It's like a running joke that's no longer funny. Hang on, I got it, Emily. No, no, don't pick up the phone. Let me get it. I want to get it. I want to get it. I want to get it. Totally gone. Nope, it's gone. Nope, there it is. Yeah, I got it. Ha! There it is. 612 what? I don't know, 702 what? Oh, yeah. All right. Got it. I'm on it. I'm on that. I don't need any help. I can do the show alone. I often do.
This is Emily.
I'm late today. I am 6 minutes late today, Emily.
I know. I let it go to voicemail again. I didn't know if I could handle it.
I was, just so you know, late because I was following through on your request to address the death of Arthur. Will you tell people where that is? Because someone wrote me yesterday and said, Mishki, why doesn't City Pages have a message board for you? And I'm not sure what specifically they want or mean, but it sounds like you pulled that from something akin to a message board.
Yes. We are putting up a blog post every day about like 40 minutes before the show where people can go and comment on the show and, you know, have there's a little bit of a preview that you send along, obviously, about what you'll be talking about. So that's just if you go to the main citypages.com website, it'll be under the blotter section, which is pretty close to the top of the page. Or if you just go to cpblotter.com, it should be one of the first posts up on top.
Well, let's dovetail from a discussion of the passing of Arthur to a discussion of where Minnesotans go to die. Where is that?
It looks, well, at this point with the snow, I'm feeling like we're going to go out into the middle of a lake or something because it's so terrible outside. I was just getting very depressed about the weather and looking forward to it being warm again.
Oh, is that what you're writing? We hope this is the last major snowstorm in Minnesota before the temperature rises and we can start thinking summer thoughts. These winter photos are just bringing us down. And so you present several photos of the weather today to upset people?
Yes, I'm trying to ruin everyone's day, but I brought it up a little bit because I gave you a little link there for trying to find Girl Scout cookies. There's a little link there, too.
Before you get all giddy about summertime, Emily, I read today, and this is a story that I wasn't going to bring to the air because it brings people down. I read today that warm weather brings with it headaches, that people have far, far, far more headaches in warm weather than they do in cold weather. So before we race pell-mell into spring, where is that story? I have it here. It's a real story. Oh, headaches. Headaches. Oh, I'll find it at some point. Kangaroo hops into bed. Did that one. I want to find it because I want to find out why you have more headaches in the warm weather. What... Wisconsin plow driver backs into and kills mother-in-law. I don't want to say you missed this one. Probably didn't print it because to you it wasn't interesting, but here's why I liked it. A man plowing a church parking lot accidentally backed into and killed his mother-in-law after she apparently slipped on ice this morning. Hey, let me tell you something. No one accidentally kills their mother-in-law. Where is the thing on headaches?
I actually did post that too.
What?
It's part of my ongoing "What's Wrong with Wisconsin" post that I do when I've collected enough terrible Wisconsin stories to put them into one post.
Okay, I have this one. Headaches, big and small, are among the most common health complaints. 90% of women and 70% of men get tension headaches, the Mayo Clinic says. Yet doctors still don't know what causes them. What? In a new large-scale study published in the journal Neurology this week, researchers have found that the one common denominator is higher the temperature, the more the headaches and the more severe the headaches. So why don't you post those pictures of the snow and say, enjoy the peace and quiet before the migraines hit. You have Franken at the blotter. That's a real shocker. What story is this? Do you count them on Franken and Coleman? What number do you suppose this is for you?
Oh, I don't even know. It's been like the main story since I started, pretty much, has been following them. But, you know, they're getting pretty repetitive. Obviously, it seems like when Franken will say the same thing over and over again, but it's still news that he still thinks he's going to win. But everyone still writes about it every time he says it. So
he played the senator today, went to D.C. and acted as though it's his and moved among the crew there as though this is a done deal, right?
Yep, he just said, this is going to be over soon, I'll be here soon, and, you know, hanging out with all of his, hopefully, new buddies, he's thinking, so.
What a long haul. When he is finally there, assuming he's finally there, what an extraordinary thing it will be when this is all behind him, to go to sleep at night, wake up about 3 in the morning, look up at the ceiling, be unable to sleep, and just think about the last year of your life and what it would have been like had you continued to goof around with Saturday Night Live types versus the road you chose. Minnesota medical marijuana bill advances in Senate. What's that about?
Well, there was a bill, there's pretty much the same bill as in the Minnesota House as well. They're basically trying to pass a law that makes medical marijuana legal in Minnesota, which probably won't go anywhere. It's passed both the committees and both sides, but it doesn't look very promising because Governor Plenty is very against it.
I want to tell you something. I have a friend right now who's dying of cancer, and if he didn't have pot, and he's a guy who prior to the cancer did not smoke pot, but I'll tell you, just to give you a sense, people, you think of it as, oh, there are other painkillers he could take. Pain killing is just one part of it. The number one reason he does smoke, and a 70-year-old woman, by the way, brought him the pipe, saying, you know, this is what you need. This is going to make you feel better. What he's been told by his doctors is, you're not eating. He says, I have no appetite. This woman said, smoke this. He smokes it, he develops an appetite, he eats, he gets his strength back. He doesn't smoke it, he has no appetite, he doesn't eat, he grows weaker. He's going to die. But this marijuana is critical to his having any interest in food. On top of that, he tells me, after smoking it, it is the one time in his day where he has a sense of being kind of happy in a situation that is really sort of depressing. He's going to die. And I hate to say this, but I pray Polenny has to deal with that at one time in his life if he is responsible for keeping this from people, because he'll never think the same way about it again. I have been watching this closely. He's a dear friend of mine, and it's criminal to not allow these people access to that or to treat them as criminals if they do have access to it. It really bothers me. Now I want to ask another question having to do with citypages.com. What the devil are we doing with that whole photography thing? I'm completely lost on that. If you go to citypages.com, there are these just random photographs of people with a white background. Can you explain that to me? I've been trying to understand it.
Are you talking about the photo booth?
Yeah.
Slideshows?
That's the first thing, or often is the first thing you see, depending on what's rotating through. But what is it? How is it being done? Why is every background white? Where are these photographs being taken? How do you get in them? Can you tell me what you know about it?
I think this is number two or three, I believe. Number three, I think. I think they've been just at Too Much Love, which is the like dance party that they have at First Ave every weekend. And I think they just basically set up like a photo booth of sorts, and people who are, you know, obviously vain and want to see themselves online go in and take pictures, and then they can come online over the weekend and find pictures of themselves.
So this is a booth at First Avenue they're going into?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That explains it. Well, it's funny because, it's only on the weekend. So it would be. So the shots we're looking at now were from last weekend.
Yes, I believe so.
Well, I guess I suddenly know. I suddenly know where Jen was, don't I?
Yes, you do. You should go there this weekend, and maybe we'll see you up in the slideshow this next round.
Here's what's crazy about it. I saw Jen, who's the web editor at City Pages, at this bar in Northeast Minneapolis Saturday night, and she introduced me to a guy, and she said, "This guy just found me on Facebook. He's an old friend of mine. I haven't seen him in 13 years, and I'm seeing him tonight for the first time. We grew up together." Well, lo and behold, I'm looking at this crazy thing this morning, and there's Jen and that guy. That's the guy. I remember meeting him. So now I know where they headed after leaving the old Nordy's dive. They went to First Avenue that night. It might not be a good idea if you don't want people to know where you're headed, if you want a little privacy. Might not be a good idea to be in those photographs because Mishki's going to look at them and he's going to talk about you. All right, I am going to let you go. Between now and the end of your work day, roughly how many more stories will you post? I always know how many you post between when you first start in the morning and the time of the show. But after you're done here, how much more will you do before you go home?
It depends on the day, I guess, and how fast and productive I've been or how much news has been going on in the morning. But today I have about four left before I'm done for the day.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you, Emily. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. See ya.
Bye-bye. Emily Kaiser, you can find her stuff at citypages.com every day. There's stuff changing throughout the day. I think if there's one thing I found the most surprising when I moved over to City Pages, because I had known about the publication since my youth. But I think the one thing that was surprising, not that they had a website. I know that all sorts of publications have websites. But the idea that City Pages, in my mind, represented something. Whoops, I always forget to hang that phone up. City Pages, in my mind, always represented something weekly. And the idea that it's not just daily, but several times every day during the day, stuff is changing and going up and being taken down and replaced. And I guess if I could get people to just grasp that idea, which is not what's ingrained in your brain when you just see a newspaper at a coffee shop every Wednesday, a new one coming out. And by the way, I should take a peek to see if we can learn at this point what the cover feature is or what the big feature is. It's not always the cover. And have that right around this week. I understand at citypages.com that's available on Tuesday, even though a lot of people don't see it in the paper till Wednesday. So I got to check on that. 651-330-4091, the number here. A lot of numbers, tough to remember. I don't blame you if you can't keep it in your head. Think St. Paul if you want to think area code 330-4091. 330-4091. You can also, if you care to, email me, Mishki@citypages.com. Little easier, Mishki@citypages.com. Okay. I was playing that thing earlier. I think it was ABC.com was addressing Oprah's advice to Rihanna. CNN's all over it. Their headline today, "How to Avoid Dating an Abusive Creep." They got some insights for you. You women out there, go to CNN.com. How to avoid dating an abusive creep. Let me guess. When an abusive creep asks you out on a date, say no. If someone you're dating right now becomes an abusive creep, That would be a great name for a little stream. It actually might become the name of the stream I'm operating on right now. Welcome to Mishki's Webcast, otherwise known as The Abusive Creek. You're in the stream. Anyway, if you're dating a guy and he becomes an abusive creep, say, I'm no longer going to date you on account of you becoming an abusive creep. Okay? That should work. Unfortunately, in this world, what it often means is guys get angry, get violent, and people die. We see that all too often. And that is why I considered today bringing this topic up. What do you like about being a woman? I'm quite serious. I'm grateful every day that I'm not a woman. Because there are abusive creeps in this world, and that's just one too many things to deal with in a world that already throws a lot at you. So what do you like about it? When I was a boy, and the Vietnam War was raging, and I was doing the math, trying to see, let's see, if it's still going on when I get to draft age, that mean it'll be going that long? Will it go that long? I don't know. I do not want to go over there. Boy, I wish I were my sister. She will not have to go. Golly, I wish God had made me a girl. I remember going through all those thoughts. I wanted to be a girl because I thought the Vietnam War was going to continue. I was going to become an 18-year-old, and I was going to be thrown over there. And my plan was to just walk into a rat hole and curl up in the fetal position and let someone come kill me. That was my plan. I wasn't going to Canada. I was just going to let them kill me and ask that they get it over with quickly. Not a courageous plan, but that was the plan. So I wanted to be my sister. And that's when Dad said, Tom, take her clothes off now. I said, Dad, I could be drafted. The situation since then has changed, of course. We see women now finding themselves in situations that are just as dangerous. And then you add to that abusive creeps. And wouldn't you just rather be a guy? I really mean that. I mean, you're stuck. There's nothing you can do. Well, there actually are things you can do. Strangely, it costs a lot of money, and I recommend counseling first. But the point is, what do you like about being a woman? I mean, what's the coolest part of it? And don't say the sex. That's just because that's the brain you have. We could give you a guy's brain. It's probably a decade away. We'll be transplanting those SOBs. And you guys will wake up to some truths you have never understood relating to who we are. Lord, have perpetual mercy on my ever-living soul, the insights you'll have. Oh, my God. We'll never be hard to understand again. Just one day with our brain, you'll get it. You'll get it. You'll get it. You'll get it. What was I talking about now? Oh, yeah. Why do you like being a woman? 651-330-4091. 651-330-4091. Or email me and tell me why you like being a woman. I enjoy being a girl. Isn't that a song? I think that's America, isn't it? I gotta get back to the email. How do I do that? I get back to my email. Whenever I'm playing with this computer, it's always a possibility that I click the wrong button and bounce myself off the air. Because as I move this mouse around, excuse me in a second, I gotta have a sip of beer. Be with you shortly. That's the holy water. As I move the mouse around, I move it dangerously close to a button that would end this broadcast. It would be over. Sometimes it's fun just to get it real close. I like to bring it right down around there and pretend I'm going to hit it. Where's my email? There it is. I'm not very tired today, considering I was up till 5 in the morning and I haven't played a lot of music. I must be riding on something. I got to put in the stupid password? Why do I have to do that every time? You know what my password is? Barbie. Hang on. All right. Let's see what we got. There's a bunch of guys writing in who want to be girls. I was afraid of that. Hey, there's a fellow writing in and said, where's Paul? Yeah, I talked to Paul late last night. Hello, can I help you? Thanks for calling in. That's in the key of F, by the way, you people who have perfect pitch. The conversation with Paul went as follows last night. Late night, I called him and said, Paulie, we got to get you so you can listen to the show. This is a regular listener, a few people who don't know what I'm talking about. He's an old guy, 86 years old, who used to listen to KSDP, lives alone in Minneapolis, and for years, through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, was a golf pro in Beverly Hills. And anyone who was anyone, who was everyone, who was no one, he taught. You bring up a name, he'll tell you a story about hanging on the links with him. So he's got a lot of great stories. But he said, Mishk, is there someone out there who could, if I gave him the money, buy me a gizmo that would allow me to listen to your show? And I said, I'll put someone on that. Camper Paul, I'll find someone. I'm not going to have them walk out of your door with your cash, though. Let's have them purchase the item, show you how to use it, and then you hand them the cash. Paulie said, okay, don't bring me any abusive creeps. I said, I won't. So any of you want to volunteer to play this role, it would allow Paulie to listen to the show. Yes, he can call right now, but he can't listen. He lives alone. His family's all gone. He has some medical issues, and his joy every day was listening to the old broadcast. That day, those days ended December 5th of last year. So if you have any ideas for helping out Paulie, let me know. Joe Maurer is in the news. Maybe you saw it today. Oh, no, you're thinking, you mean that deal with his kidney? He's not getting any better and they're worried about him? No, no. Joe Maurer has decided to become a Catholic priest. Check your sports pages. Joe Maurer makes decision to become Catholic priest. Twins argue that shouldn't mean he can't still stay with the team. Now, no major league team currently has a player/chaplain, a player chaplain. But Ron Gardenhire says he'd be willing to give it a shot if Joe would be. No priests have ever played Major League Baseball. Find that news somewhere else. What's this? Hong Kong. Oh yeah, I did that story. Kangaroo. Jacques Cousteau drowns in bathtub accident. Pediatrician dies of childhood disease. Pen pal stabs pal with pen. Those are all George Carlin lines. Like to steal them every now and then. It was way, way back to 1970. New rules may doom big Hugo sign. What does the Hugo sign say? Do you know what the big Hugo sign says? The big Hugo sign says, save Hugo. Maybe you've seen it, those of you who've been to Hugo. A lot of people listening west of the Mississippi don't know where Hugo is. Hugo's new rules about displaying signs could mean the massive and controversial Save Hugo sign along Washington County Road 14 will come down. Wait a minute. I don't know where Hugo is. City council members passed a sign ordinance this week, and the Save Hugo sign needs to come down. It greets motorists as they hit downtown. Several residents have complained it's an eyesore. It's apparently not aesthetically pleasing. It's too big. It's obnoxious. People don't like it. Save Hugo boosters say they're exercising their First Amendment rights. We don't know yet what they're trying to save Hugo for, or why Hugo needs to be saved, or does anyone know what the Save Hugo sign means? Save Hugo, what's that about? Anyway, it was a homemade sign. It's gigantic. It says Save Hugo, and they passed an ordinance saying that sign has to come down. I've decided I got to intervene. I'm going to make a sign that says Save the Hugo sign. It's a Save the Hugo sign sign. And I'm going to put it up near the Hugo sign that says Save Hugo. And it says Save. It's going to say Save this sign. I'm sure they're going to question whether that sign can go up, the sign I want, the Save Hugo sign sign. That's only going to result in calls for more signs, however. Signs calling for the saving of my Save the Hugo sign, which will then bring more complaints, and the vicious exponential growth of all this will result in sign, everywhere a sign, blocking up the scenery, breaking my mind. I don't know what the hell it is. Blocking up the scenery, breaking my mind. Save this, don't save that. Can't you read the sign? Yeah. We can't even save the whales, people. We tried to save the Met, didn't work. Think we'll ever have a Save the Mall sign? I don't think so. There aren't a lot of Save the Metrodome signs, I know that. But maybe that's because they're banned. Are they banned? Truthfully, I don't think Hugo should be saved, but I'm biased. I live in St. Paul. I think Hugo may have outlived its usefulness in the Twin Cities and should be perhaps paved over and made into a, oh, I don't know, a Viking stadium. Yeah, we could still call it Hugo, though. It could be the Hugo See a Football Game Stadium. Hugo See a Football Game Stadium, you know what I'm saying? The coolest small-town sports palladium. The Hugo See a Football Stadium. No, what would it be? The Hugo See a Football Game Stadium, the finest small-town sports palladium, the Hugo See a Football Game Stadium. Just a thought. Bible-quoting stalker gets life in prison for killing ex-girlfriend's mother. Headline from today's news. Bible-quoting stalker? Bible-quoting stalker? Question. Why don't stalkers ever quote Twain? Never happened. Why? Bible-quoting stalker. I think Christians have to ask themselves what's going on there. Just once, I'd like to find a stalker in the Twin Cities. And I realize we don't ideally want stalkers, but they're going to be out there. We're going to have them. Let's live with them, and let's just change them. Let's just spin them a different way. Let's get them to quote Twain. Imagine being stalked by someone who, when he gets up to you, says, "I've never let my schooling interfere with my education." What? Nothing? Clothes make the man. Huh? Clothes make the man. Naked people have little or no influence on society. Can I follow you around? Pal, back off or I'll get a restraining order. A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. I wrote that when I was drunk. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. Twain... quoting stalker gets life in prison for killing ex-girlfriend's mother. It's not going to happen. I saw a photo today of the Great Lakes from space. It was taken 10 days ago, and it showed Lake Superior completely covered over in ice. It was complete, and they say that that last happened 20 years ago. And the headline said you could almost walk across Lake Superior. And I thought about whether or not people have tried that or taken a stab at that or if there's a record in Guinness for walking across Lake Superior, even if it was last done 20 years ago. And it got me thinking about whether or not other people have tried things on Lake Superior for records, skating across Lake Superior. You can't skate across the ocean. It sounds like you can across Lake Superior. Has it been tried? Yeah, you'd need a shovel and you'd need some help, but I'm saying if it's frozen over end to end, why couldn't you skate across Superior and have someone tried it? And then I thought about the Ice Age. And I assume, though I don't know clearly, this could be erroneous, but I imagine that the oceans were frozen. Is that accurate? During the Ice Age, were the oceans frozen? It's a silly question perhaps, but I honestly don't know the answer to that. I assume they were frozen. And that got me thinking about skating across the Atlantic. And that sent me down a road where I daydreamed for about an hour and a half, lost a lot of prep time earlier today, and I imagined myself, and this is fun to do if you don't have a lot of money and there are no good movies out, just close your eyes and put yourself in different situations. And imagine yourself in different scenarios. And I was skating across the Atlantic Ocean. And I was singing, I'm going to skate across the Atlantic and the old Pacific too. Let's have a Mediterranean hockey game, a little Riviera 2-on-2. Figure skate the Gulf of Mexico, broomball the Arabian Sea, a little curling on the Persian Gulf and off the shores of Hawaii. It's all the rage. It's all the rage. It's the first planet-wide ice age. We're out all day. Our skin don't fry. And our body gets preserved when we die. What was it like during that first ice age? Were people around? When did ice skates get invented? Where's Jimmy Hoffa? Who killed Kennedy?
I hear the pitter and patter and the splish and splatter of the rain is falling at my feet.
I really dig this song. So much so, I'm playing it again.
I watch the cigarettes burn and the traffic lights turn. The steam rising up from the street. Pass the hustle and the bustle of the people as they shuffle to the beat of a lonely scene. And I saw hunger and I saw pain.
Hey, I got a question about Hennepin Avenue. Over the years, a lot of different streets have appeared in songs. When I was a younger man, I was somewhere in a bar in Minneapolis, and Metza was playing, and the song that he was singing had Franklin Avenue in it. And since then, I have looked for that song and never found it anywhere. I've searched for it online. I don't know what the devil happened to it, why it was never recorded, or if it was recorded and lost, or if it was someone else's song. He was singing it live at a bar, and it could be that I was young and my memory is bad, but I dug it, and I've never found it again. Anybody know about this? It was a Paul Metza song that had Franklin Avenue as a repetitive street in the chorus. I'd sure like to play that sometime. So you got Hennepin Avenue, you got Franklin Avenue. How many streets in the Twin Cities have been written about? Now, Dylan didn't mean our Wabasha in that song, did he? I don't know. But we certainly lay claim to 61 there. How many local streets are celebrated in song? Let's find out. Let's get the songs. Let's play them on the show. Andrea, could you research that for me? Thank you very much. She's on that. Music editor at the City Pages is right now going to her vast library and pulling out song after song and shipping them over here via Yellow Cab. Billy Graham's in the news. Now, when Billy Graham appeared in the news today, you know what I did? I said, there's no way that man's alive. Went online, Wikipedia'd the hell out of the fella, and he was hurting pretty good after that. And sure enough, he's alive. He's in his 90s. I thought he croaked. Billy Graham is still with us? Tell you why I bring him up. He's got an advice column. I tell you, surprised, I'm sure, to hear, as you would have heard if you caught this entire show, that Oprah is the most influential voice in America today. Billy's not smiling over that one. He thought he was. Nope, it's Oprah. See if I can find why I brought him up. He had a quote that needs to be passed along, and I certainly am not here to beat up on a man in his 90s, but this quote must be attacked. For its absurdity, I'll find it. Billy Graham, there he is. A letter to Billy Graham in his advice column. An advice column that runs in the Kansas City Star. Dear Billy, why do people get involved in cults? My cousin has gotten involved in a cult. And no matter what we say to him, he refuses to listen to us. He says we're the ones in the dark, and that he alone in our family has found the truth. And then it's signed. And Billy writes, one characteristic of cults is that they strongly believe they alone are right in their beliefs and everyone else is wrong. Oh, Bill!
The hell you say? Do you know what you've done, Bill? You've just indicted Christianity, my friend. Just wanted to pass that along to you. He goes on to say a few other things that are equally entertaining. One characteristic of cults is that they strongly believe they alone are right in their beliefs and everyone else is wrong. Thus, they reject the central truths of the Bible and substitute their own beliefs for the clear teaching of Scripture. Why do people get involved in cults, Bill writes? Because they have a deep spiritual hunger, and for a time they think they have found the answer to that hunger. Just yank cult and replace it with Bill's philosophy, huh? What's this? Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was pretty cool. Franken asks judge to toss out Coleman's suit. Why? My guess is it's out of style. Franken asks judge to toss out Coleman's suit. Coleman expected to be in nothing but his undies come this time next week. Saying Coleman, you heard me not said, sang. You ever heard Norm sing? Saying Coleman, I'm dying slow, don't you know? This is not how it was supposed to go. I had ambition, I was going places. I was topping poles and winning races. Mayor to senator, so it went. On my way to be president. Only had some trouble when I faced a wrestler and a comedian. Otherwise, I could beat them all. The smart, the dumb, the big and small. Had the best handlers and the best trainers. Just couldn't beat two entertainers. I'll be back, though, count on that. And I will take on any old cat. And if I lose in coming years, it's just because I took on Britney Spears. It's just because I took on Britney Spears.
Rise, rise.
Cool. 757s, 1981. Andrea puts a little note by this one that says, these rock veterans are closely tied to our local music history, Mishki. Bassist Paul Perner is the brother of Soul Asylum's Dave Perner, and guitarist Bobby Zimmerman is, well, I'm sure you can guess who he's related to. Charles Hodder out in Seattle writing in, talking about Minnesota street name songs. Let's see. Tom Waits has a song called Ninth and Hennepin on his Rain Dogs album. Thank you for that, sir. Let's see what else we have here. Franklin Avenue, what do we have? It's probably not the same song, but Jeremy Messersmith, who you played the other day, plays a song by that title that mentions Franklin Avenue. Okay, I will dig that one up. Andy, I thank you for that. Appreciate you guys helping me out here. Who else is checking in? Mishki. How can local musicians who think they may be making music you dig get their stuff to you? Well, that's an excellent question. By golly, this is the first time I'm realizing I don't have in my brain an address to give out. I will make sure I have the City Pages address for you people. Now, one thing you can do is you can email me the group, and if the music editor at City Pages has it handy, I'll just say, give me a little listen. Let me hear that. She probably has it in her library. If not, I have a mail slot at City Pages now. Was told over the weekend or just before the weekend that I had one. Got to start remembering to check it, of course. That means driving across a river. I don't like bridges. if you folks want to send me music, feel free to, though. I will have to. I'm sure you can find City Pages' address right there at citypages.com. But just put my name on it. They'll throw it in my box. I'll listen to the stuff. Good question. Who else? This is going all the way back to Duck Duck Gay Duck? What's Brent got on that? Duck Duck Barbie Duck. Okay, we can play that game too. Barbie, 50 years old, gang. Hey, happy birthday, Barbie. Duck, duck, Barbie, duck. Very good, then. This broadcast is brought to you by some friends of mine. I need to tell you about them, because without them, I don't work. And without them, you don't hear the show. And if you like the show at all, I'd appreciate it if you'd remember these guys. The cool thing about it is I don't work with anyone who isn't the best. You don't want to be sitting at a bar with an old buddy of yours you grew up with and telling him to go somewhere that's the third best place in town in that particular category. That's kind of a downer if you love the guy, right? R.F. Moeller Jeweler is without question the finest jeweler in the Twin Cities. I can find evidence of that. It's not just because I know him. I don't think there might be one other jewelry store out in California, maybe one other one out east, that has as many certified gemologists, appraisers. They simply are more educated than everybody else around here, certainly anybody in this region of the United States. You don't work at R.F. Moeller without going to the Gemological Institute of America. It's like going getting a medical degree. I mean, it's like you go there for years. You become certified. You become a real gemologist. You understand this stuff. There are people out there, and I'm not joking about this, selling jewelry who don't know anything more than the four C's, which any yahoo can learn. Cut, clarity, carat, weight, color. You can spend a couple hours at R.F. Moeller and know as much as a lot of people selling jewelry in town. That's pathetic. If you're standing by a cash register and selling jewelry and you don't really know about it, then you can play some fun games with people when you're selling diamonds. If you educate yourself about what these stones are, these things that were underground when the dinosaurs were walking the earth 70 million years ago, if you educate yourself about them, you'll find out that at R.F. Moeller, they not only have the finest jewelry, but at the most competitive prices. So if you are looking for an engagement ring, if you're planning on getting married, if I have to grab you and walk you down there, you will have a better experience than anywhere else if you allow me to bring you in the door there. My goal during the year that I'm going to spend here, and I could be here longer than a year, but I always think in one-year blocks. This is such a grand experiment that I just think I'm going to give them hell for a year, and I'm going to get these advertisers and say, stick with me for a year, guys. Let's really try to make this thing into something where it's still something people want around a year from now. My goal is to get anybody getting married to go to R.F. Moeller Jeweler. 50th and France, Ford in Cleveland, next to Neiman Marcus in downtown Minneapolis, and to make it so they write me afterwards and thank me, even though I should be thanking you. It's also sponsored by the Spectacle Shop. Now, the Spectacle Shop, we're in no-brainer country here. Nobody in this Twin Cities of ours has 30,000 frames. Nobody travels the world finding frames from everywhere. Dave has a pair from the 1200s. Dave has... every day, pairs he sells from the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, vintage frames. Dave has frames that no reasonably sober human being should be seen wearing. But it's cool to know a guy has all those, along with a million other different things. He has the most beautiful retail shop. You walk in, you say, this guy has an artistic aesthetic. He understands how to create, how to present, how to make the experience one where you think, hey, this wasn't so bad. This isn't some bland, boring Pearl Vision or some bland Lens Crafters or something that makes you want to vomit into your boot. What? I don't know. Spectacle Shop is located in New Brighton on Robert Street, downtown St. Paul, Burnsville. Find them. By the way, I'm creating something for them I want you to see soon. I've been doing a video for them that I'm finishing probably in the next 48 hours. I've written a lovely song to go with it. I've recorded it. I recorded it at a recording studio yesterday, and I'm just delighted to have it up on citypages.com soon. So look for that. Lastly, All Incorporated. This one is the most fun to talk about simply because they're going to give away a kitchen, and you get to win it. Here's all I want you to do. Do me a favor. Are you thinking about remodeling your kitchen? If you're planning a kitchen remodel, All Incorporated is willing to give you this head start. They're not going to give you the cabinets and cupboards. That you'll have to buy from them when you remodel. They're going to give you the refrigerator, brand new. The microwave, brand new. The dishwasher, brand new. The oven, brand new. And when you're going to win it? You're going to win it hanging with me at All Appliances and Cabinets. It's located off Harriet Island on Plato. This place is cool because what I didn't realize happened in the last few years was we've gone kind of space age in our appliances. I open up these refrigerators and I play with little buttons and make things happen. The shelves move up and down. Some things come out at you. I skip around and go into a little room with a $30,000 wine vault, computerized. You can walk in it, shut the door, and just sit with the wine. You go to All Incorporated and all the little kitchen vignettes they have, they're not lined up like a showroom at Montgomery Ward's or Sears. They're real kitchens and cookies are baking and someone's doing dishes. And these things they're selling are actually operating. You can play with them. You can play with them. You can cook stuff. You can make stuff. You can say, I'd like a glass of wine. Okay. Here's a glass of wine. Sit down and enjoy yourself. Lovely music playing, dim lighting. I'm not joking. Take a date there. It's a tough economy. Enjoy it. If you bring a woman to All Incorporated and you guys have a place together, she will dig you. I mean in a way that later on that evening you will say, Mishki, you helped take me to a place that isn't of this world. All Incorporated has changed its name recently to All Appliances and Cabinets. You should be able to click on their little ad at citypages.com and go to their website. These are friends of mine, people I've known for a while, going back to the old days of KSTP. In fact, I don't mind saying this, as embarrassing as it may sound. Mark Rutzik at All Incorporated gave me a big hug the other day, and he said, Tommy, you are my brother from a different mother. And I said, you didn't make that up. He said, no, it's sometimes said as a joke. And he looked me in the eye, and he looked deep into my soul, and he said, with you, I mean it. And I said, Mark, I'm uncomfortable right now. We were at the Home and Garden Show. This was last week. Oh, boy. Sometimes when I do the ads, I go places I don't mean to go, and I have to double back. How are we doing on time? Riding along the Great Divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. That's where you find me when the years go by. Railroading on the Great Divide. Oh, what's this? Cool. I should have gotten to this earlier. I wrote about it, and then I don't talk about it. Chuck Norris? If you're going to write about it in your show notes, you better talk about it. Chuck Norris wants to run for president of Texas. President of Texas. Remember that guy who tried to secede? He was holed up. Was it in West Texas years ago? They ended up having a charge in there and I think put a bullet in his head. I don't recall. Chuck, you ready for the same treatment? Chuck Norris today said, I think I might run for president of Texas. We need to get away from the union before the union goes down the tubes. He says, and that may be a reality sooner than you people think. Yeah. Chuck Norris says, from the East Coast to the Left Coast, America seems to be moving further and further from its founders' vision in government. I can't take much more of this, Chuck says. How much more will Americans take? When will enough be enough? And when that time comes, will our leaders finally listen? Or will history need to record a second American Revolution? We the people have the authority, according to America's Declaration of Independence, to rise up. Chuck, are you familiar with Homeland Security? Mishki to Homeland Security, Mishki to Homeland Security. See the man, Chuck Norris. What the hell is going on with Chuck? Chuck, it's over, man. It's over for you. Stop. Give it up. You're done. It's finished. Let's move on. Chuck, your career's over. Shouldn't you just read a book in the backyard? I saw today that you live in California. Why don't you pour yourself a glass of iced tea and go read a book in the backyard? That's what I'd do if I were you. You seem to have some money. You don't need to get up and work every day. What's going on, man? Life is short. What's with the revolution talk? I don't have the freaking energy for that. In my mind, this flawed old nation of ours just sort of stumbles along as it has from the beginning. Well, what are you seeing? You know, it's the same old America. It screws up royally, it fixes a few things, screws up again, fixes a few things, helping some people, screwing over some people. It's run by humans, you know. Have you looked, Chuck? It's run by a bunch of human beings. What did you think you were going to get? I don't think we need to start taking up arms, Chuck. Let's do what we've been doing for a good while now. Let's just keep debating and may the most reasoned argument win. That's what I say. Strange as it may sound, that's sort of how we got to this point, more or less. Last I checked, Chuck, you're doing okay. Quit your bitching. Or I'll give you a hell of a butt kicking. I mean, I will give you a half Nelson, the likes of which you have not felt in your 69 years on this earth. Do you hear me, big boy? Come here and say that. I'd like to fix that freak's wagon. Might do it, too. He doesn't scare me. He's 69 years old. He used to scare me. Doesn't scare me anymore. I'll bust his colostomy bag or something. I'll muck things up for him. Something fierce is what I'll do, and I'm possibly going to do that tonight because I don't got anything going on. Maybe I'll send a chimp after him. I read today about this chimp in Washington. Is this in Washington? It's out of the Washington Post. It's disappointing but perhaps not surprising that a newly documented example of planning ahead by our closest non-human relative involves laying up weapons in a scientific paper published yesterday. A primatologist describes an adult male chimpanzee in a zoo who often collects stones before opening time arrives so he can have them ready later on when zoo visitors arrive and he becomes agitated. On some days, this particular primate has barraged visitors with up to 20 projectiles thrown in rapid succession. He collects the projectiles before the zoo opens and waits for the people to arrive. The spectators are often 30 feet away. There's a water-filled moat in between them, but some of them have to duck. Preparations by this primate include not only stockpiling stones, but more recently also fashioning projectiles from pieces of cement that have broken off artificial rocks. Many animals plan, said the primatologist, but this is planning for a future psychological state, a state of war. This is what is so advanced about it. This is an animal realizing there is going to be need for aggression later in the day and preparing for it. Now, this is what we're going to learn one day, if you ask me. What we're going to learn is, if this guy could speak, this ape, he'd say, hey guys, let's not make this out to be some disturbing story about how our roots are in violence. Let's instead take a hard look at where I am. Now, I'm not a carp, right? We know I'm a little more sophisticated than that. I'm not an amoeba. I'm an ape. I don't think you people fully realize how much I'm like you. Now, where do you have me? In a cage. Did I commit a crime? No. What do I do all day? Sit behind bars while you freaks sit and stare at me, smile, make jokes, laugh, and you wonder why I start collecting rocks every morning before opening time and then throw them at you bastards. I hope to God I hit one of you in the head one day. Maybe the guy with the keys. So when he goes down, I can take those keys and get the hell out of here. You freaking jackasses. Why do we puzzle over this? Look where they have the thing. Is it 4 o'clock? My show's over. Damn it. How does it end? I don't get that. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening.